this trip for 357 days. Ever since we got home from last year, we've been looking forward to coming back this year, and it's been really good to worship with all of you this morning. As I have always said, the Christian life is kind of like a present. And just as you would take a plane, ordinary box and you wrap it up to really make it stand out and extraordinary. I believe that God is able to take our plain and ordinary life, and He's able to gift us and bless us to where He makes us extraordinary. I think, and just as with the gift, I think God continually showers us with blessings all the time that we don't deserve. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hands." This is a God that we serve, a God who wants to bless us and to provide for us. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 says, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." This is a God that if we just serve Him and give heed to His voice, we won't get sick. And then one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." God has good things in store for us in the future if we just trust in Him. But then I think about the tragedies that just happened the past couple days in Oklahoma, where tornadoes came through and killed people and left people homeless. And this ideal of life being nice and easy and just all pretty with a little bow on top, it really gets smashed. And then you think about a couple of months ago about the shootings at Sandy Hook, where poor, innocent kids were gunned down in a school. And this view of a life that's easy and God gives us everything that we want, this view just takes another smashing blow. That's a good hit. And then we ourselves might deal with, we might get sick, or we might struggle financially, or we have someone that's close and dear to us die. And this view just takes another hard hit. And then we realize that as we look at life, life can get messy and even ugly at times. There's a lot of preachers out there who will preach something that I like to call a health and wealth gospel. It's this idea that if you follow God, that God will give you everything that you need, that you'll be living on easy street, and that you'll never have any problems or pain or suffering. But when life hits you hard, it's hard to buy into this health and wealth idea. You know, if you're not going through a hard time right now, just wait, because you will. That's the nature of the world that we live in. Pain is guaranteed to anyone who takes on the task of living. Some of us are in the furnace of suffering right now. Others of us have just gotten out, and for the rest of us, we will be there sooner or later. And when hard times hit, we start to ask questions. We ask God, "Why would you allow this to happen to me? God, why didn't you stop that tragedy from happening?" And then we start to wonder, is this just some big cosmic mistake? Is this some bad joke? And I think, you see, the topic we're tackling this morning is one of the most commonly asked questions of God. It's been referred to as the Achilles heel of Christianity. George Barna, the public opinion pollster, did a nationwide survey in which he asked the question, if you had one question to ask God, what would it be? The number one response was, why is there pain and suffering in the world? And this is not just some academic issue to be debated in a sterile academic arena. This is a deeply personal issue that can leave a person with spiritual dizziness and confusion. One writer described the problem of pain as the question mark that turns like a fish hook in the human heart. However, I think the Bible does give us some answers why there's pain and suffering in the world. And I'd just like to spend a few minutes this morning talking about that. And I think the first reason is because of our own personal sin. To understand this, we have to go back to the beginning, to Genesis, and even chapter 1. You have to understand that God did not create evil. But in Genesis 1, when God made Adam and Eve, He gave them free choice. He set up moral parameters about what they should and should not do, and Adam and Eve chose to defy God. And ever since then, man has had free choice. And with that free choice comes the impossibility to do great good, but also to do much evil. And I know I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. We experience this on a day-to-day basis, how our actions or the actions of people we see have a profound impact on the people around us. I love the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph starts really in chapter 37 of Genesis. And Joseph was the second youngest of all of his brothers. And one day he went out to go see his brothers and to check up on them. And his brothers were jealous of him because he was his father's favorite. And so they conspired against Joseph, and they took Joseph, they threw him down into a hole, and then they sold him into slavery, and then they told his dad that Joseph had been killed. After Joseph had been sold into slavery, he eventually became a servant of Potiphar, who was a captain of the guard in Egypt. And he was an upright man, and he did what was right, and he was gaining prominence in the household. And then Potiphar's wife tried to come on to Joseph and to seduce him, but Joseph refused. And so it was Potiphar's wife who lied to her husband and had Joseph thrown into prison. I was watching the news the other day, I get so depressed sometimes when I watch the news, because so many times I just hear about kidnappings and shootings and drug overdoses. And I wonder, why in the world does God allow these things to happen? And I think one of the main answers is because of free choice. You see, Joseph's brothers chose to throw Joseph into a pit, and chose to sell him into slavery. It was Potiphar's wife who chose to lie to her husband and have Joseph thrown into prison. And now, almost 4,000 years later, people are still making bad choices that have a huge negative impact on others. But even when these things happen, I still ask the question, why doesn't God just calm down and stop those people from making those bad decisions that hurt others? You see, if God did that, though, we wouldn't have free choice. We'd be robots. You know, mine and Tessa's, I guess it's 6-year anniversary is coming up in August. 7 years?
Maybe not.
Yeah. I stayed up really late last night. Anyways. We've been married happily 6 years, so. our 7-year wedding anniversary coming up. I was just joking to make sure you're paying attention. But anyways, I've really been thinking about how to make our 7th wedding anniversary really special. And, you know, just to celebrate the fact that I've survived 7 years of marriage. I mean, blissfully enjoyed 7 years of marriage. But what if, as we were getting ready to go out on our anniversary, Tessa told me exactly where she wanted to eat, exactly what to get her for a gift. And when I wrote her a card, she dictated exactly what she wanted me to write in the card. And then as we're talking at dinner, she told me exactly what she wanted me to tell her and how, you know, the things I should say to make her feel good. And to take it a step further, I had absolutely no choice whether to do these things or not. I mean, it wouldn't sound like much of a relationship. For a relationship to be meaningful, there has to be free choice. And so it is with God. God longs and desires to have a relationship with each and every one of us. But for that relationship to be meaningful, there has to be free choice. We have to be able to choose Him or reject Him. And with that free choice comes the possibility to do great good, but also great evil. I think the second cause of why bad things happen is because of the result of our fallen world. You see, we live in a disease and death environment. But things weren't always like that. Have you ever thought about how when God made Adam and Eve in creation, there were no earthquakes or famines or hurricanes or disease? When God actually described His creation, He described it, He said, "It is good. It is very good." God created this world good. And originally, in the garden, Adam and Eve had everything provided for them. They didn't have to work for their food because the land naturally gave them what they needed. Genesis 1, verse 29 describes it this way. It says, "The Lord said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. However, after Adam and Eve sinned, that's when hurricanes and natural disasters and diseases came rolling on to the scene. You see, when Adam and Eve turned their back on God and told God to take a hike, He partially honored their request. Nature began to revolt. The earth was cursed. Genetic breakdown and disease were let loose, were unleashed to do their work of destruction. Pain and death became a part of the human experience. Listen to how God describes the consequences of their action in Genesis 3 and verse 17. It says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you." In this picturesque story of Genesis, disobedience results in shame and alienation from God and others, but also a disruption in nature. Now Adam and Eve have to work for their food. Now thorns and thistles will make it hard for them to produce a crop. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, there became a fundamental change in the nature of nature itself. We go back to the story of Joseph. Joseph eventually got out of the prison, and he actually became the second in command over all of Egypt, only under Pharaoh himself. But not long after Joseph had started to rule, there was a famine in the land for 7 years. Genesis 47 and verse 13 describes it this way. It says, "Meanwhile, the famine became so severe that all the food was used up, and people were starving throughout the lands of Egypt and Canaan." And so first Joseph, he sold them grain and he took all their money from them. And then they gave them all of their livestock for food. And then they gave all of the land. And then verse 19, it describes it this way. It says, "Why should we die before your very eyes? By us and our land in exchange for food, we offer our land and ourselves as slaves to Pharaoh. Just give us grain so that we may live and not die, so that the land may not become empty and desolate." Adam and Eve start out in Genesis having everything provided for them. The land willingly gives them what they need. But then, just a few chapters later in the story of Joseph, there's a famine and the land is no longer producing for the people like it once did. The land has been cursed. And many evils and tragedies that we face today are because we live in a world that longs to be redeemed. Still, I struggle with that, and I still ask the question, how can you allow a little kid to get cancer? How can you take a loved one away from me? But you see, when you go out to a dealership and buy a new car, and then you go out and you run that car into a telephone pole, you don't blame the manufacturer or the dealership for your mistakes. You're the one who broke it. And the same is true with God. We can't blame God for the current state of our world because we are the ones who broke it. This world was not like God originally created it. And all of creation is longing for the day that it can be redeemed. And the last reason that we experience pain and suffering in the world is sometimes there is a reason. Now, I'm not saying that when a bad things happen that there's always a reason, or that God caused that bad thing to happen. But what I am saying is many times we experience what we think is a tragedy in our life from our perspective, but from a bigger perspective, from God's perspective, He allows that thing to happen for our benefit. We go back to the story of Joseph in chapter 50. And so Joseph, a lot of bad things have happened to Joseph up to this point. He's been betrayed by his brothers. He's been thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, thrown into jail. He becomes a ruler, but then a famine happens. I mean, he almost seems like, you know, trouble is just following him wherever he goes. But all of those things happen so he can get to a point to where he could save all of Egypt and, more importantly, his family, because he was able to store enough food to save everyone. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 says it this way. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many souls." And I think there's three ways in which sometimes there is a reason. I think, first of all, that hard times can stretch us. If you live your entire life and you never go through a hard time, you never face any troubles or struggles, then you're going to stay static and remain the same. But as we face trials and tribulations, there are opportunities for us to grow and to mature. Just as gold is refined in a fire, so sometimes we also need to be refined in our own life. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, says it this way. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Second, I think sometimes hard times can teach us. There's no other way to learn what God wants to teach us except by going through a trial or struggle. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 says it this way. It says, God disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness. And then verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And then lastly, hard times can reach us. It was C.S. Lewis who said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You know, sometimes, like Elijah, I can hear God whispering to me. Not literally, but I look around and I see the beauty of His creation, and I know the purpose for my life. There's other times when you can ask Tessa, I'm pretty hard-headed and stubborn, and God can whisper all He wants, but I'm just not going to get it. I'm not going to hear what He has to say. And there's times, sometimes I need God to whack me upside the head to get my attention. But you know, I'd much rather face a little pain and difficulty now to save me in the future than not to experience any pain or difficulty now and to face a lot more later. You know, I think sometimes we can understand why bad things happen. I think sometimes we can wrap our mind around it. Other times, though, we just can't understand it. We can theologize and philosophize all we want, but that still doesn't get God off the hook. We still ask, God, why? Why would you allow something to happen? But what's amazing is that God came to this earth to put Himself on the hook for us. When Jesus died on the cross, He experienced all the pain and agony and suffering that we will ever face in this life. And so when we're going through hard and difficult and unfair trials, God knows how we feel. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says it this way. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet was without sin. And so, while on the outside, life can seem pretty we can get beat up, and life can get messy and even ugly at times. If we look underneath the surface, if we look beyond our outer circumstances, we can find hope and assurance for the future. It's through the cross that we have hope for eternity. And while we might face pain and suffering here now, we will eventually get to spend eternity with Him in heaven, where everything will be made right. If there's anyone this morning who has a physical need or a spiritual need, if you've lost sight of the cross, then I encourage you to respond as the invitation, as together we stand, and as we sing.
Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God, and knows God. He who does not love does not.
God is love. Got announcements?